Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Privilege for me to be speaking tonight, and I'm so proud of Pastor Ken and Chrissy. They were in their 20s, young and stupid and doing crazy stuff, and they're still doing crazy stuff in a good way. All right. So thrilled to be here. Come on, we're gonna open our hearts. Let's expect together. You know, God's so leaning into this moment. We just need to meet that with our open, receptive heart as well, okay? So, Father God, I thank you for the life and liberty and release of your Spirit in this place. From the front to the back, the left to the right, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, not just another sermon, but a word in season that will speak into our hearts. Peel back the veils of our heart. Lord, do something deep, rich, and real. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Wow, you even clap when someone prays around here. This is pretty cool. How I like to minister is I like to teach first, and then I put aside a teaching anointing, and then we minister the very thing that we were just teaching about. That's the purpose of teaching. It's not like just an informative message. It's meant to set us up for experiencing, you know. If it's on the menu, it should be cooking in the kitchen, right? You're not supposed to have it on the menu. So I'm going to read the menu. That's really what this sermon is, just the menu. But you don't leave having read menus. You don't sort of chain smoke your way through a restaurant reading menus, all right? If it's there, you're ready. Hey, if it's there, I want to experience it. How many of you know you don't satisfy spiritual hunger by eating menus? Right? You've got to actually have the meal. And so where I want to just revive a truth, and that is God's intention for his church is that it was always intended to be supernatural. Supernatural. Christianity is supernatural, right? You can't be educated into being a Christian. That's a da-na-na-na. I like that. You can't do that because then it's purely based on head knowledge, right? No, Jesus said you must be born again, born from above. It's a new creation. There's something supernatural going on. And when I remind people that they are, you know, a human having an experience on this planet that's preparing them for the next stage of their existence, they sort of take a moment, really, they're not, wow. See, part of why I want to really stir this truth is we tend to forget who we are. We tend to forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, primarily spirit beings, having a human experience that we're experiencing God made possible through Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. It's an experience of God made possible through Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. And that's really good news. All right? But when we forget that and we start drifting away from that, we put an expectation on life that God never intended. And so you're a candidate for being disappointed. You're expecting something from your time on this planet that God never intended you to have, all right? That you are a spirit having a human experience, all right? And so we develop all sorts of illusions about life that God never meant us to have. We develop illusions about what life should be bringing us that God never intended, that illusions about death, that it's final and should be feared. That's an illusion. Where did we get that from? And so when we forget who we are, we forget what we're being prepared for. And it says in Revelation, right now we were singing, but they're singing a song in heaven right now. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. This is their song. And your blood, Jesus, you purchase men for God from every tribe, language, people and nation, and they will reign on the earth. Where's my cloud? Where's my mansion in heaven? No, you're being prepared to reign on the earth. You know, the Bible begins with God and humans living an open relationship on the earth. And guess what? The Bible ends with God and humans living in open relationship on the new earth. Now, I'm not trying to take heaven away from you, but it's a great waiting place. It's not, it's a comma. It's not a full stop. Read the back of the book. All right? You end up ruling and reigning with Christ. And so stuff comes your way in life because that's God's way of making sure little people aren't going to be in charge of big things at the end of the age. All right? Everybody wants to be an overcomer, but they're shocked when God gives them something to overcome. You know, they want to sing about it, read a book about it, attend a seminar about overcoming. But what? There's a difficulty? There's a challenge? See, when you don't get it, that this is, you're here to get something you could have gotten no other way, but by being here, then you're not shocked by these things. You're here to get something you could have got no other way, and that's maturity, that's experience. We can't get you out the front and shaka kaka. There it is, experience and maturity. Receive it now. No, you're going to have stuff come your way. But when we forget who we are, we go, shock, wow, amazement. Well, tell it to the Apostle Paul who was killed and flogged and shipwrecked and all the apostles that ended up martyred, apparently. Shock, amazing, does Jesus still love us? Well, guess what? They never lost sight of the fact that they were on their way. They were on a sacred journey. This was not it. So when we forget, yes, it is. When we forget who we are, that Christianity, this is supernatural. It's got angels in it. It's got all sorts of wow, amazing stuff in it. We of all people should be leading the way in the world when it comes to spiritual things. We should have it down pat. We know the movement of this and that atmosphere. We're reading stuff. We of all people, Christianity should be proficient at it all. Because why? Because we're born again of the Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. We're gifted by the Spirit. If you're freaked out by spiritual things, wow, Christianity is really freaking you out right now. Because it's totally about spiritual stuff, all right? And so we just need to refire that. That's why I like to say, listen, if you're trying to be a Christian, stop it. There's nothing trying about this. Is a branch connected to a vine trying to be fruitful? Have you found that orchards are really quiet places? It's really quiet. But there's stuff going on. There's lots of fruit happening. Why? Because these branches are receiving the life of something. Oh, we're receiving this supernatural flow of life into us. You know, when you go to the tap, is the water trying to come out? Will it come out today? Well, I don't know. No, there's a flow. There's a supernatural supply. Now, look at Jesus' description. This description does not sound like he's describing a trying life. He says, if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they'll never be thirsty again. Now, is he lying? I mean, have you ever been thirsty again? What he's telling you is, I'm going to install 24/7 plumbing into your life. So whenever you're thirsty, you can just turn on the tap. You can just drink. You can just receive. Yeah, that's what he was saying. If you don't turn it on, if you don't know how to engage with the atmosphere, the presence of God, you're going to be thirsty, right? It's because he said, let the thirsty come to me and drink. Well, all we're doing is coming to him, but we missed the last part. We've come very good at getting into the presence, but we forgot it's not finished yet. I've got to learn how to drink. I can die of thirst in the presence of water. You know, I can be in the presence of this water and still be thirsty because we of all people need to understand we're meant to engage with something. So he says, you'll never be thirsty again. Because the Spirit of God, he says, for when you drink the water I give them, it will become in you a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit flooding from you to endless life. So that's not a description of trying. This is not, no, something supernatural's flowing. We're receiving the benefit of a life we've never lived. This is all happening within us, all right? So Christianity is primarily a supernatural experience. Sure, we're saying, come as you are. We're just shocked when you stay as you are. We're going, what? Yeah, sure, come as you are, but here we are 12 months later and you still are the same. What's going on? Why can we put that expectation? Because something supernatural is meant to be happening here. Some sort of transformation is meant to be going on. So God birthed his church, as we call ourselves Pentecostals, if you're not sure, because what we believe is what God began on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Spirit, that was his intention for the church to continue. That wasn't meant to be an event. Looking back in history, yeah, back then, that was... No, this is a progressive unfolding. And if you're not sure about that, look at what it says here in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Yeah, he says, this is what God's plan. Anybody want to know what God's up to in the last days? Thank you, both of you. Anyone else? Right, others? I don't care. That's right. Yes, we should care. In the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. That's me. I'm still seeing them. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants and men and women alike. They'll prophesy. I'll cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. That's God's plan in the last days, to pour out his Spirit. Now, some people are disappointed. What about, you know, poverty and child trafficking and the wars and the starvation? And they want to say, why doesn't he do something about that? Because the heart of humans is sick. And God says, I'm going to, if I touch those events, they'll just come back and do it again. Because it's in the heart of man and woman to do that. So I'm going to touch their heart. I'm going to go to the very source of all this sort of behavior. I'm going to pour out my Spirit and bring about a transformation in the heart. So that's God's plan. And so what I'm saying is, let's get with God's plan. Let's get with God's plan. He's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, and we need to learn the ways of the Spirit. God gains entry into the world through our willing openness to allow his life. That's why we're called the body of Christ, right? We're giving expression to the, we're giving visible expression to the invisible God. That's what we're doing. And God's gaining entry into the world through you and through me. That's how he's doing it. So if this is true then, David, if this is God's willing and all that's true, the power of God, all that, why isn't more of it happening? We're going to go there and talk about that. Why isn't more of it happening? Well, I'm going to put it to you. Multitudes of reasons, perhaps, but there are blockages. And we're going to talk about a particular blockage. And I want to talk about it because when we are intentional about dealing with it, we can remove it. When we can identify it clearly, that's a blockage, let's get rid of that. We can enable this flow of God's intention to happen more and more. Some people say, well, if it's the will of God, it'll happen, right? No, I'm going to read a story. You might be familiar with it, where it was the will of God, but it was blocked. And the story is Mark chapter 6. And Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. Sabbath day, everything's going well. He's preaching away. Everyone thinks, oh, wow, this is great. And then everything went pear-shaped, all right? they took offense at him. And then he said, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own house. And he was unable. That sounds like a blockage. He was unable to do any great miracle in Nazareth except to heal a few ingrowing toenails. A dog wandered in off the street, shaka kaka. The fleas left in Jesus' name. It was all great. But so Jesus has this massive altar call, and he gets to the end, and he's amazed, it says. All right, he laid hands. He was amazed at the depth of their unbelief. Now, you've got to remember that the Bible says at the end of the Gospel of John that if we wrote down all the things Jesus said and did, the books would fill up on the world. So every story we're reading is selected. It's picked. Because there were so many other things he said and did, but these ones are picked. So why was this one picked? It was picked because it has a profound lesson that God said, I want my people to get this. I want them to know this story because what happened in Nazareth can happen here tonight. Right? See, we think if Jesus turned up, wow, the place. No, he did turn up. It was how they responded to him turning up. So, yeah, the presence of God. Well, the presence of Jesus was there. But why was it blocked? Why was the flow blocked? Well, he tells us. He tells us why. We're not left guessing. He says a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives. So he was pointing to a lack of honor. Now, let me help you with this word honor. This isn't flattery. This isn't, you know, just fluffing people's egos. The word honor comes from this idea of something being weighty and valuable. So honor, if I was to give honor, it's because I see you as valuable. And therefore, I'm going to respect you and I'm going to listen when you talk. I'm going to open my heart to receive from you because you're valuable. That's the thought of honor. And Jesus is saying, because you have closed your heart to me, the power of God's just bouncing off you. You closed to being receptive to me because you didn't see me as valuable. You saw me as a hometown boy. And so you see, so if you want the shortcut to what I'm saying, honor opens and dishonor closes. It's a principle of life. If you honor, then you're opening your heart. You're receptive. If you dishonor, disrespect, no value, then you're actually closing your heart and by default becoming unreceptive. And this is actually, why did God want this in the Bible? Because it could be happening tonight. If I'm just, you know, the post-conference speaker and, you know, God bless Pastor Kenny, you know, give the old guy a go. And it's like, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and let's get him mentally giving me a score out of 10, then you're on your way to doing exactly what they did. And that's not because you're trying to prime you for, respond. No, I'm just trying to tell you, why did God say, I want that story in the Bible? It's because this same principle of honor opening, dishonor closing actually applies all the time. So it's actually within your grasp to create your own God encounter tonight, purely on the basis of your honoring. Some of you have been around church so long, it's rocked you to sleep. The routine of it has rocked you to sleep. Your level of expectation, honor, value. Ooh, here comes worship. Wow, here comes the word. It's not, oh, geez, okay, let's see. Hurry up, that restaurant only opens in our booking. And, you know, so what's going on, right? You're just punching the card, I attended, all right. And so we got to check our hearts, all right? Because whatever you disvalue, you closing to it. Not even Jesus could penetrate it. Wow. Okay. And what you honor, value, it's a principle of life. I'm going to tell you that this is where most marriages get into trouble. They get into trouble because of dishonor. Now, you might say, no, he said, she said this, and she did that. No, they said and did it because they dishonored. They stopped valuing. And that's why they said that, and that's why they did that. Because you wouldn't say it and do that if you valued them. If you saw them as someone of that value, left first. Honor left first, and then the behavior of dishonor, the I don't value you, and so it closes our hearts, all right? So if you forget everything else I say, get this principle of life working for you. It's a principle of life. Honor opens, dishonor closes. I think that's really what that command, honor your father and mother, that it might go well with you all the days of your life. That's a command with promise. I think this is what it's saying. Your parents are the first and primary relationship of your life. And if you learn honor there and keep it up through every other relationship, life will just keep opening to you. You learned it there and you kept it up. I think that's really what the principle is of I learned it first in my first and primary relationship of my life, being my parents. I learned it there and I kept it up through every other relationship and life just kept opening to me. We enter his gates. How do we do that? With honor, with thanksgiving. Honor opens. Right? What did Jesus say when he taught us how to pray? He said, listen, before you get into anything else, hallow the name. Honor goes first. Honor the name first, and then the rest of the prayer begins to flow. So how does this blockage of dishonor creep in? Well, I'll be the first to put my hand up and say, I've been a Christian for 46 years. 46 years. That's a lot of meetings. That's a lot of prayer meetings. That's a lot of singing. Wow. There's a lot of prayer meetings. There's a lot of shaka-kaka. There's a lot of whoa. Okay, 46 years. And a lot of that time actually being a leader. So that's a lot of time for my heart to get hard if I'm not careful. You know, being here tonight is potentially dangerous. Because it's just affording you another opportunity of hardening your heart towards the sacred things of God if you've turned up with a dishonoring attitude. You're just back again, dishonoring, lacking value, and it's hardening your heart. So I'll be the first to say, wow, has there been times over those 46 years where I've had to check myself and realize through the repetitive nature of what I've been doing, my heart can become calloused and actually numbed because I've slowly drifted into devaluing it. It was sacred when I started, but now it's just routine, all right? And so the new thing has become the old thing. The fresh revelation is the repeated tagline. I'm hearing some of these young guys crack jokes, and I'm thinking, we're saying that back 20 years ago, and you're still trotting it out as if it was fresh revelation. It's like, guys. So for a lot of people, it's the same old meal, and all you're hoping for is different gravy. That's about it. It's like, what are they going to trot out tonight? So let's try some different gravy and see what's happening to you. You're experiencing church as a routine and it's rocking you to sleep, right? And so that's why you've had your conference and everything, and Pastor Ken and Chrissy would strategically place things across your church to revive you, because it's critical. If you don't go after that deliberately, intentionally, you will get rocked to sleep. you will just get into a routine where you're starting to devalue the sacred things of God. All right? So now some people believe no, revival is purely sovereign and all we can do is wait for it. I don't think so. I think we can go after it. We can go after it tonight. We can be very intentional about it. You went after it at conference. Look at what it says in Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. He says, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. He's using a farming metaphor. Fallow ground. He says, you've got fallow ground and you better break it up. Now, what's fallow ground? I enjoyed that part. I'm laughing there. fallow ground is once, this is a da-na-na-na, so don't miss it. Fallow ground was once productive farming ground, but it's just been left sit unstirred and unopened for a long time. That's all you got to do. It once was very productive, but now it hasn't been stirred up, it hasn't been opened up, it's just been let sit there, exposed to the wind, the rain, the weather, and it developed a very hard crust. And that's why he's saying, listen, God's going to come, he's going to rain. But if you've got fallow ground, no seed of the word of revelation has been able to penetrate. So nothing's going to germinate because it couldn't penetrate the crustiness of your heart. All right. So he's saying, come on, you open up, break up your fallow ground. Be intentional about that. So it happens, you know, fallow ground I've found to happen very gradually. You hardly notice it, like in the natural with the farmer situation, very gradual. You hardly notice it. But what God does is put somebody beside you all plowed up and full of seed, busting out of their socks, and you just go, whoa, that's what I was like that once. What's going on? I like to tell the story of how I had a real wake-up moment to how dishonor in terms of valuing that I'd become. We were in this church, Kai Abram, Victoria, pastoring a country church, Sunday night like this, power of God's moving, I'm praying down the prayer line. And this lady, Denise, her name was, she's a businesswoman, probably saved maybe a month. And I got to her, bang, power of God hit her, bang, down she goes, lots of bang going on. And then bang, down she goes. And I always like to look what's happening. And sure enough, she started to manifest. I could see, you know, she was struggling with a demonic thing on her life. So we dealt with the greeby. And as soon as it left, she burst into beautiful flowing tongues. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Deliverance, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Straight away. Wonderful. And it was just such a supernatural, powerful moment. It's great. Fast forward now to Monday morning. I'm the proud father of seven children. My job is to go and get the groceries. I'm at Woolworths. I make it to the baked bean aisle. And I'm trying to work out, do we want British baked beans, low salt? What's going on with the baked beans? And I'm trying to work it out. And here comes Denise down the other end of the aisle. So I'm up the baked beans and she's just rounding the, and I can still see it. She looks up and she sees me. So Denise abandons her cart and comes down the aisle. And I'm sort of, oh, okay, it's too late to pretend I'm not seeing her. Hello. It's like, so Denise is coming down and at the top of her voice, no kidding. She says, I felt that demon, you know. I felt it. And it sort of came up like that. I struggled for a little, but it just came out. And everybody's going, whoa. You know, they're sort of hanging around the baked beans to hear the rest of the story. And I'm sort of going, Denise, don't, you know. She didn't care. It was like, whoa, struggle. Got about here, and then, whoop, it just, whoa, just came out. Okay, Denise, yeah, woo, woo. But Denise had not finished. She was just getting started. She leans back without any exaggeration. She said, look, I can still pray in tongues too. Shakapa, shakapa, shakapa. She's going for it in front of the baked beans. I'm telling you. It was like, whoa. And if she had her eyes shut. She's leaning back, just going for it. Whatever it wasn't finished because she just kept going. Because if she'd have opened her eyes, she would have seen me going, wow, Denise. Because she is letting it rip, I can tell you. She could not care. She is going. Anyway, finally, whatever, you know, it must have been a long prayer because she got, and then she finally opened her eyes and I, wow, that's great, Denise. I got to go. And here comes the moment where I just, even now, feel that moment when I'm walking away and I said to myself, oh, she'll learn. Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, she'll learn what? What will she learn, David? How to be safe and predictable like the rest of you? Oh, I thought Denise should be slapped. I got the slap. What that taught me was she was so full of honor. This was supernatural. This was amazing. God was so real. Wow. Wow. And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed about her being so caught up in the bliss and the wonder and the amazement. If this is Christianity, oh, wow, this is amazing. And I just had a moment of realizing, I was like that once. What happened? What happened to that guy? Where did he go? Well, I drifted into not respecting the sacred things of God because they'd just become so routine to me. So I want to end this teaching with moving, as I said, in a power anointing, and I want to restore honor to something. And that is the laying on of hands. Restoring honor to the laying on of hands. If we had time, we'd unpack. That is a sacred way that God has chosen to impart his gifts, power, all sorts of things into people's lives. Who knew that by putting the hand on someone, there's a moment of flow and impartation? And some of us have just grown up in church thinking it's just a gesture of care and support, when actually, no, it's actually a powerful moment of a release of all sorts of, in God's choosing what he's releasing into that person in that moment. And so it says Jesus laid hands on people, coming back to the story, but only a few people were healed. So what was going on? Well, I'm going to tell you, dishonor will insulate your heart. So if I walk over here and I grab this power cord, why aren't I being zapped? There's electricity flowing in this power cord. Why aren't I feeling that power go into me? Well, because it's insulated. If you remove the insulation, the power would flow into me. Dishonor will insulate you. Oh, but if Jesus laid hands on me, well, he did. He did. He laid hands on them. They were insulated, and he told them, your heart has been insulated through dishonor. Remove the insulation, power flows. When Jesus was pushing through the crowd, everybody touching him, one lady who was uninsulated, who was giving honor and value, if I can just touch. Immediately her fingertips touched the hem of his garment, power flew, and he turns around and said, who did that? Who was that? I felt power go out of me. I think he was legitimately wondering who that was. I don't think he was playing games. And that was the woman that had 12 years issue of blood. And so power left him. And here's the cool thing about the power of God that you can feel tonight. It's intelligent. So it left Jesus without any word of instruction between the two of them, a long medical history, let me tell you what's happened, none of it. That power left him. It went up her fingertips, up her arm, across her shoulder, into her torso. Where was it going? It knew exactly where it was going. And it knew exactly what it was going to do when it got there, without any need of information. Because the power of God is intelligent. It's not the force is with you. No, this is God, and it's very intelligent. And the thing about it is, when it flows into different vessels, it manifests differently. Right now it's flowing into these lights and manifesting as lights. It's flowing into that power disc. It's flowing into an amplifier. It's flowing into this microphone. And on and on and on and on. You plug in a vacuum cleaner, it's going to do that. Depending on what it's flowing into, it will present itself in a different way. Same power. It's just manifesting in a different way. Well, so when you come forward and we lay hands on you, I don't know. I just know it's going to be good. If you're uninsulated and we lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, then my hand goes first, his hand comes over the top. That's what it means, in the name. That's me being the body of Christ. That's the prayer team being the body of Christ. We're being his hand in that moment. And the power of God's flowing into people in that moment.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.